Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
You're about to listen to Bananas for Bonanza, episode 19. This is Andy Daly. Hello! Here on this free feed, I'll be re-releasing all of the back episodes of Bananas for Bonanza, one every other week. If you want to hear new episodes ad-free, please subscribe to my Patreon at patreon.com/AndyDaly. The entire Bananas for Bonanza archive is also waiting for you there, and you can access lots and lots of bonus content. So do that. Okay, thank you. Enjoy!
Yeah! Bonanza, it's the finest show alive. So consult your TV guide, get your great outdoors inside, take some Ponderosa pride, and forever may it ride. I'm Bananas for Bonanza.
Fuck it, I'm ready.
Fuck it. Goddamn, you ready?
Yep.
We're ready. Here we go. Yee-haw! Goddamn, it's been a long time since I've yee-hawed into a microphone.
Pow, pow, pow.
Pow, pow, pow.
I want a Shasta. Pow, pow, pow.
I don't get that reference. Is that from what, a Shasta?
It's a root beer.
Shasta's a root beer?
It's a soda.
I think it's a soda pop. Yeah, yeah. Right? It was an old commercial.
Line of sodas, yeah. Okay. But that was specifically a root beer.
Oh, okay.
Give me a pop, pop, pop. I want a Diet Shasta. It made no sense.
Oh, man. I was just thinking of a commercial the other day about Preak Friends cookies as much as it's a very sophisticated cookie. Do you guys remember that commercial at all?
I remember the name.
Is that must have been a regional one.
Okay.
Does it go, that's oh, you want to fuck a cookie?
Oh, that's the one. I do know that
one. Is that how it goes?
Yeah. Maybe it was that. I don't remember it specifically in those terms, but that might
be. Because I had been fucking cookies for years, and it wasn't until I saw that commercial that I felt good about myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because sometimes they're soft in the middle.
Oh, pre-internet, It was so isolating. Be a cookie fucker. Well,
that's, no kidding. Hey, wait a minute. What are we doing here? Let me say the thing I say at the beginning of these episodes. Hello, friend. Come on in. The gate is open wide. Welcome to Bananas for Bonanza. I am your host, Dalton Wilcox, cowboy and cowboy poet from the heart of the American West. And we are talking about the one and only television show, Bonanza. And it's been a long time. I got my regular co-host here, Mutt Taylor's here.
Good to see you, Dalton.
Wonderful. Amy Sleverson. Christian,
I love you all.
Oh, well, that's a sweet sentiment.
I do.
Wow. Beautiful.
But, you know, in a very agape Christian way.
Oh, sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Not even like a fucking a cookie way.
No.
Okay.
But I would. I would. I mean, if it was consensual.
Right. Yeah.
Nothing in the Bible about cookies.
There certainly isn't, but there sure is a lot about business.
Oh, my.
Oh, yeah.
Cookie business. And we got here, our guest today is Andy Richter.
Yes. Wow. We're in my backyard, and I'm so glad I warned my neighbors about the yeehaw.
Oh, that was, yeah, it's a good idea. I've always put that in the email. We got, what do we got here today? This is the first time we've done one of these episodes in like a long time already, like 6 months or something like that. We ain't even done one. And then it's the first time we've been together in one place for like more than a year before that.
That's right.
This is huge. huge. This is momentous. And so we figured that we're going to, we had Andy Richter on as a guest, and we figured we'd come all the way out to his house and his backyard, and he wasn't quite expecting us today.
No.
No.
But I'm in a robe.
Yeah.
And trying very hard to keep it closed.
Yeah, when I showed up, you wasn't even in a robe.
I was not.
Kind of a man.
I thought you were someone else. I won't say who.
Well, now I'm disappointed.
Whom?
I won't say whom.
Yeah. Thank you. That's nice, proper.
You didn't confuse us for people who looked just like us or angels.
Oh. I certainly didn't.
You know, from the show.
Which show?
This show.
Oh.
Where the episode where they're all the bad guys are confused for the good guys are confused for the bad guys, and so they're angels.
Oh, yeah. Segueing into that. Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Love it. Getting started on it. No, it's
I got
wonderful.
Too fast. I got too excited.
No, it's good. I like it.
I like it too. I just
keep
want to say
moving.
A quick word about where I've been for the fans of this show who missed us for a long time and been writing in saying, where are you guys? Where's the show? As you know, I've been living underground in National Park in a system of tunnels, and I had a collapse, but I was in the jerky room when it collapsed, and I just said, well, I'll stay here. And I stayed down there for over a year. No, it was like how many months? Like 6 months I was down there just eating jerky. And then I dug my way out when I ran out of jerky, and it was only like it took 15 minutes to get out. But that's where I've been.
But you'd had so much jerky, you had the strength.
I had the
muscles.
Strength of 6 months worth of jerky.
After the 15 minutes was over, did you regret not trying to dig out earlier?
No, because why would I have? You know what I mean? I had all that jerky down there.
All this time, I thought you was in a room with the jerky boys. You were in there with beef jerky?
Yeah, well, various different kinds of jerky. I got some turkey jerky down
well,
there.
That's a mushroom jerky, teriyaki with ginger.
I never tried that. Mushroom jerky?
Yeah.
They can jerk a mushroom?
They can sure jerk a mushroom.
If you
mushroom
can fuck a cookie, you can jerk a mushroom.
I guess you can. I guess you can.
Anything can be jerked.
Yeah, I suppose you're right.
That's the name of my new book.
Anything can be jerked.
Oh, so you're on this to promote that?
I am. It's a cookbook, and it's about how you can jerk. In fact, I've been on virtually every morning show, jerking cicadas, because it's
once
it's
every
season.
17 years.
Yeah.
You say, right. Are you going to end up with the cicada jerky?
I have some actually in the house. I'll have some afterwards.
I'd love to
I have
that.
A book too.
Oh, yes,
it's
yes.
The Bible, but written in my words.
You paraphrase the Bible.
I paraphrase the Bible just to get to the heart of it.
You've been working on that for a long time, haven't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, and it's mostly, you know, in the style of science fiction romance.
Oh my. I didn't see that coming.
The surprising thing, though, is that your version is longer.
That's right.
Paraphrasing is usually shorter.
That's right. It's a six-part version of the Bible, so it comes over a period as I write it. So you sign up now for $100, and you'll get that Bible as soon as I finish it.
Oh, I see. But you want the $100 now.
Oh, it's like a Kickstarter.
Well, that's the thing. I have to get the money coming in. It's like being baptized. You got to get that done first. Yeah. Right?
Before you get to living.
Yeah, before you know it's okay.
Yep. Right. Well, that makes perfect sense to me. What have you been up to, Mutt Taylor?
Shit, I got a story to tell.
Oh, God damn.
You know they're doing these vaccine lotteries now?
Vaccine lotteries.
So the state will say, we'll put you in a lottery if you get vaccine. It's a way to encourage people like myself who don't want a fucking microchip down their arm, right? But still, I want to win millions of dollars, so I got a vaccine. Now, lo and behold, I win the vaccine lottery.
You got to be joking around.
$2.2 million.
What?
Dollars.
God damn.
Yeah. That's and so what incredible. I've been doing is, you know, I've been living in a shipping container up there in the Ponderosa, Nevada.
Yes.
I've been buying more shipping containers and making replicas of famous mansions out of shipping containers, I think.
Really?
This is what I think I've been doing. Okay.
Okay.
I did the Palace of Versailles, but it just imagine the Palace of Versailles, but kind of pixelated down to an old Atari game and just a bunch of boxes.
It's just all the same size boxes.
Yeah, it's hard to tell what it is.
It's that you're using the time that was, it's such a gift. The pandemic has been such a gift for producing and making more product.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that because I was feeling like I was just shitting the time away, and I think now maybe I was worth it.
Now I distribute weed.
What?
What a minute. Distributing weed?
Well, I don't know how to I just, it's weeds. Oh. So it's crabgrass and it's dandelions and buttercups and poison sumac. And then, but I call it like the silver gorilla.
I see.
Do you ever hear back from one of your customers after they buy this?
I have a question or two myself.
Oh, it's the word is spreading.
Do people buy it to smoke or are they buying it just to have put weeds in their garden?
Yeah, you put it in your garden just to see what'll happen next. And you know what? That's one thing that you can never kill is weeds.
Yeah, and the devil.
And the devil. And sometimes you can feel that in the if you get close to the ground, but then you cover it in poison ivy and you're fine. No, I try. It's so much less expensive than traditional medicinal herbs. And so because it doesn't work at all.
Right.
It is usually the price is tied to efficacy when you're talking about herbal medication.
So many times. And I just says, do you want something that you know won't work, but you'll get it?
Yeah. Well, they're compelled to put on the label now on a traditional medicinal. This hasn't been proven to work. I think they have to put that on the label now. Yeah. Do you have to put on the label this has been proven to not do
this
anything?
This is proven not to work, but it's here now that I shipped it.
Yeah. The value of the product is that it will arrive. That's what you're saying.
Okay. If you got it, I sent it. That's all. That's all I sent. But it's all in the. It all happened in the U.S.
Yeah.
It all is American. It happened in America. Yeah, maybe. That's happened all in America. It happened.
These weeds grew in America. They were shipped in America by an American.
Now they're in little bags called Jupiter's Elbow or something like that.
Hey, is that in your fantasy Bible story, Jupiter's Elbow?
Oh, got that. Well, that's, I should write that in. I have the seven horses, a headed horse, who's chasing the whore of Babylon.
Ooh, but she's my favorite whore.
She really is. She's the best whore.
Well, she's funny. She has a sense of humor. Yeah.
That's all I want.
And a heart of gold.
Yeah. Yeah. She was number two when on Family Feud just the other night, as they said, name a whore. She was number two.
Who was number one?
Mary Magdalene.
Oh, my God.
That's who everybody always thinks of. But there's the one of Babylon.
Who are the seven great whores of this world?
Seven great whores.
Well, you got Mary Magdalene.
Ew.
The Whore of Babylon.
Julia Roberts.
Right, from Pretty Woman. Dolly Julia Parton Roberts. From Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
Correct. Oh, yes, that's right.
That's four of them.
Halle Berry from Independence Day.
Wow. Dalton. Yeah. Look who came to play.
The serial killer from Monster.
Oh, God.
That's right.
We're only down to needing one more, and it feels like there could be 10.
I think they should change it in the Bible, though, to the sex worker of Babylon, not to put us off the last.
That's so true. Yeah. I'm trying to open my mind up to creating a business plan for sex work because so many people are Christian, but they don't know a good place that they can get their sexual needs met outside of their marriage, but a place where they know that it's something that's covered by their belief system.
Right.
Because otherwise, you're just going to any, sex worker. You don't know if they read the Bible.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're talking about Christian prostitutes.
Christian prostitutes who are, you know what they stand for.
Yep.
And that
what they kneel for,
and they've read Judges 19, which is all about the concubine who was cut up into 12 pieces and spread into the 12 tribes of Israel. Do you guys read that one?
That sounds like an Avengers movie that they got to go around the globe and pick up a bunch of parts.
It does, yeah.
Well,
we've got to reunite the concubine.
Well, you guys, I should write that in. Judges 20, right after Judges 19.
Put that concubine back together. Yeah. Make her into a Frankenstein concubine.
Oh, look out.
Frankenstein concubine. Oh, write that down, goddammit.
Dr. Victor Frankenbein. Anyway.
Terrifying.
By the way, the number seven
whore,
I think, is Kitty from Gunsmoke.
Oh,
bringing it back home.
Yeah. Goddamn Gunsmoke.
I mean, they never said she was, but I mean, what else is she doing?
I think you're right.
That show's garbage.
Yeah. With an honorable mention to Jamie Lee Curtis in Trading Places, but that's just.
Oh, right. That's true.
Yeah.
Can't forget about her.
Jodie Foster in Taxi Driver.
Oh, sure.
Although that's kind of a bummer.
What's that character's real last name? Steensma. Her real last name is Steensma.
Oh, Steensma.
That right there makes me sad for a week. That's just the last name.
Violet or something?
Iris. Is it
Iris?
Iris Steensma or something like that?
Iris Steensma.
Breaks my heart.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, what we are here to discuss, notwithstanding what we have already, is
season one, episode 19 of Bonanza, which is called The Gunman.
Wow.
Man, oh man. And this episode has everything. It's got fully half of the regular cast shows up for this one. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
And tons of laughs. This one's got a classic drunk scene that almost works. A
few There's of them.
Plenty of gunfire, plenty of feminism in this episode, and even some cowboy poetry. So, right, we'll get to it. I'll try to play that clip for you. And we're going to discuss this episode. You guys, everybody excited and ready to do it?
I'm really ready.
Excited. All right, I'm so excited.
You know, my favorite thing to do, as you know, I've said this before, I like to click on the resumes of the various guest actors
who part.
Show up in these episodes.
Yeah,
it's fun.
It's always a good time. And I had a thought, by the way, Mutt and I do a podcast called Bonus Nanas for Bonus Nanza.
It rolls off the tongue.
Yep. Normally, it's we answer listener questions from Twitter, but I think this next time we're going to... When you hear a title of a movie or TV show that one of these people's in, you're interested in it, we'll watch that.
I love it.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So, Sheriff Bannerman Brown is played by a fellow by the name of Henry Hull, who also was in a movie called The Sheriff of Fractured Jaw.
I'm interested.
And in a movie called Objective Burma.
Oh.
He was in a movie called, he was in Jesse James, The Return of Jesse James, The Return of Frank James, and The Return of the Cisco Kid.
Wow.
What a collection of films.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I think he was also, wasn't he in some Ayn Rand movie, like The Fountainhead? Or
He might have been in The Fountainhead.
Yeah.
He was also
He was in Lifeboat. That was the biggest one he's in. Yeah, yeah.
Lifeboat.
That's a good movie.
He's researched that. You just pulling that out?
Oh, I looked it up.
Okay.
I do that too. Yeah, no, I do that
you
too.
You can't not do it.
I do it constantly. And then my daughter always yells at me to get off the phone while I'm watching TV. And I'm like, I'm not tweeting. I'm researching cinema.
Don't you want to know what three films Vic Tayback was in Shirley Bassey?
Yeah.
What?
Or the, like
Shirley
or
Bassey.
Like, don't you want to know the answer? Where do I know that guy from?
Exactly. You got to know that.
Yeah.
He was in a 1925 movie called The Wrongdoers, which is, I'm thinking, is a hell of an insult by 1925 standards.
Yeah. Sounds like fun people, though.
Yep. In a movie called Transient Lady.
Oh, she's the ninth whore.
That's the ninth whore, the transient lady. Go.
Then comes the Bratz dolls.
Yep. Them Bratz dolls as training wheels for transients.
Those things, imagine if they were real humans, how terrifying the size of their head would be.
Oh, everybody
would I don't think their neck muscles would support them.
No.
Never in hell. No. Unless they was titanium necks.
Yeah.
And turns up on a couple of TV shows we've heard of before, The Kaiser Aluminum Hour and Appointment with Adventure, which is the most boring way to talk about adventure.
Yeah.
You have an appointment with adventure.
Nobody makes an appointment for
adventure. Be sure to show up 15 minutes early. There will be some forms to fill out. Might be a copay. Then we got Jubal Hadfield was played by George Mitchell. And he was in, he played the psychiatrist in Invasion of the Animal People. Oh. You don't need a goddamn psychiatrist when the animal people are invading. You've got no time to sit down on a goddamn couch.
Yeah, they're not interested in thinking thoughts and feelings.
Hell no.
Yeah,
the animal people came here to destroy. And he was in a TV show called Shirley Temple Storybook, which I looked at a little bit of, and it's like a pre-60s psychedelic mindfuck of a children's show hosted by Shirley Temple.
How old was she at this point?
This is 1959. She's a grown woman.
So she's Shirley Temple Black at this point?
Well, not yet.
No.
She's still Shirley Temple. By the way, did I ever tell you I invented a cocktail? You take a shot of Johnny Walker Black and you put it in a Shirley Temple, and that's a Shirley Temple Black, which is her married name.
Wow.
That's a great idea.
Isn't that a good idea?
Yeah,
it tastes so clever. Terrible.
Yes, God, it tastes like cough syrup.
Something
but
like
so
that.
Did she, and now that's just Hollywood myth. I can't confirm that, but that's what I've been told.
Yep. Then we had Douglas Spencer plays Alonzo McFadden, and this guy spent most of his life as Ray Milland's stand-in.
Oh!
Yes, he did. And he's every movie that Ray Milland is in, he's in it in an uncredited role. Including the movie The Mexican Spitfire's Baby.
Oh,
is that a sequel?
Not
To what?
Just the Mexican Spitfire?
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, that had to have a follow-up.
Yeah.
So many loose ends needed to be tied up.
Yep.
He had lots of eyeliner on in this episode.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
Yeah.
And I think they wanted to
that
dirty
up from Milan.
Must have. Little yeah. trade
what
secret.
Were you going for?
Well, I was just saying they put a bunch of gunk on his teeth, but it was so weird that I think maybe they just mascaraed his teeth too. Did you notice? He just hideous teeth.
Yeah.
He didn't have the teeth very were nice extreme. Teeth.
Yeah. Yeah. We also had, I just like these words together, King Donovan as Twirly Boggs.
That's King Donovan.
And King Donovan was Imogene Coca's husband, as a matter of fact.
No shit.
Yep. He was in a movie called The Magnetic Monster.
Wow.
Okay. Probably a monster that sticks to metal, but.
I think so.
And he's the B-plot of alcoholism.
Yeah, in this show. The magnetic monster.
Yeah, in this show.
Maybe the magnetic monster was booze.
It could have been.
Yeah, it stuck to him, that's for sure.
It sure did.
Yep.
Twirly
Boggs. He also played the lingerie shop manager in a 1951 film called Behave Yourself with an exclamation point. Feels like he might have had the titular line at
don't
the lingerie
you think
shop.
The lost art, the title of a movie is a lost art. They don't title them like they used mm-mm. to.
Well, speaking of which, he was also in a movie called A Lady Without Passport. That was the title of that movie. Seems like it's missing wow. a word.
Yeah.
Well,
a definite
yeah,
article.
It's a real page turner, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Or she's. I have to go. I've been for work. I have to go to Istanbul. Well, you need a passport. Well, all right. And then it's just the process.
Oh, yeah. That's what it is. It's the process of getting a passport filled out. He was also in a movie called I Was a Male War Bride.
Oh boy.
And.
What? I want to make a movie and I just call it Watch It. Watch It!
And yeah. it's just someone slapping your face on the screen, but it never makes contact, but the hand just waves in front of the camera.
Oh, yeah, it'd be a 3D one, too, yeah. right?
Wait a minute, it's going too fast. I'm the executive producer. Stop
oh.
talking.
Oh, 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 oh sorry.
We spoiled the ending.
Giving you too many ideas.
Yep.
And King Donovan was also in the Schlitz Playhouse of Stars, which I always love to see on a resume.
Yeah.
Then we had a woman, and we're going to play, guess the name of the guest actor on this, of the character actor, with Ellen Corby.
Is she the one that looks like Ray Walston?
A little bit. Well, she went on to be Grandma Walton.
Yeah, Lorna
Grandma
Walton.
Lorna Doone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cookies.
She was also Mother Lurch on the Addams Family, poor
wow.
dear.
Ah. Yeah.
And then we got, what else we got here? Anybody? Oh, here's the most interesting one. I'm skipping over some stuff here. Jonathan Gilmore as Ants Hadfield. This was my favorite hole that I wandered down. He was good friends with James Dean, and he and James Dean and Eartha Kitt used to ride motorcycles around Hollywood together.
Oh.
Eartha Kitt.
Wow.
He wrote a book about his friendship with James Dean, and he says in there that there was more than just a friendship.
Oh,
and so
they always say
they
that.
Always say
they always
that.
Did
he,
do.
Oh, did he identify as homoerotic?
Yes, he identified as homoerotic.
I've been reading about gender and sexuality, and
I've what have you been reading about?
It's really been exciting to think about with Christianity that, like, in a lot of ways, like I feel dysphoric inside my church, but so like I want to be I am pro-life, but I don't like children or babies.
Oh, I see.
Like that you can find a space and identify within it. That's the kind of Christian I am.
And that feels to you like a dysphoria?
When I'm in a regular church, I prefer to be in a Target.
So do you go to Target, say, on a Sunday morning
yes.
and do your service there?
Yes.
What department?
Bedding. Because, but yeah, that it's, you can also... I can be very concerned. I'm a hetero capitalist. I'm anti-sin, but also very don't want to share anything.
Okay.
You know, right. like it's a spectrum.
There's a spectrum of greed.
Yeah, morality.
Of morality.
And you're definitely to one side.
Like I hate my body, but I'm Baptist.
So
what is that? You're not supposed to hate your body if you're Baptist?
Oh, now I got all wrapped up.
Oh, all right.
That's in
all
my right. thoughts, and it got into a bunch.
That's fine. I agree with you about children. Got to do something about
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish there was a better way to make adults.
Yeah, yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That's something. Science hadn't cracked that one. You, in order to get an adult, you have to first make a child.
Yeah, you have to put up with all it for all that time.
Yeah, like they can age wine and cheese. Why can't you just give a kid to a, I don't know, like a brewery for
and
a while?
And put them in a barrel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Casket aged.
Yeah.
Put them in a casket.
I'm making Christian whiskey. It's called God's Thin Brown Blood. And it's like you can have an experience and a deeper and deeper connection with God,
yeah.
just like other people do during their ceremonies.
I think you would have a much deeper connection with whiskey than with a couple of sips of wine.
Yeah,
absolutely.
For sure.
Really yeah. get to connect sure.
Shooters. If, yeah, yeah, shooters for Jesus. That would make church last. Just no kidding. Fly by.
If yeah. I could just have a couple of slugs of Jägermeister in the bedding department of a Target, I'd right. go to church a lot more.
No right. kidding.
Yeah. Right.
People are going to be lining up for your church.
Yeah.
I know.
Particularly. Oh.
Come on by.
Come on by. There's probably a few things you need to pick up
don't
at Target.
Bring your kids.
Yeah. Just. Also, if you just wear a red polo, they won't kick you out because they think that you work there.
Church of Amy. I'll do it. I'll do it. Okay.
Yeah, I'm you might have to round up a few carts every now and again yeah. just to make it look like you work there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
well, that's the thing. Part of the process is communion with the space is you fill your cart and then you slowly put everything back.
Oh,
wow.
Because yeah. you're denying yourself.
You're
pleasures.
Denying yourself, but then you fill it up again and you buy it all and bring it home.
Hot damn. Fantastic.
Yep.
I like that church. I'm going to go there this Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all the accumulation of worldly goods.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's my favorite part.
Worldly goods. Yep. Well, hey, do Twirly we take bugs. Breaks anymore?
It's up to you.
I don't know.
I don't think we. I don't think.
Yeah, we're not doing commercials anymore, I don't think.
Fuck commercials.
Fuck.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Commercials.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am a commercial.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. This whole thing is sponsored by Amy Sleverson.
Yeah. Do you want to do a quick product plug?
Christ Bank, 23.9% interest rate. You can, instead of tithing, tithe directly to Christ at Christ Bank.
Fantastic. That's Amy Sleverson.
Do you earn
bank.
The interest or does your bank
you,
take the interest?
You we take the interest, but our interest goes directly to Christ.
Oh.
Yeah.
So how do you, I'm sorry, I don't want to poke holes in this, but how do you just pass it on to Christ? You're not taking any, skimming any off the top?
We earn a living wage.
Okay, you don't have
and
to.
And then we give 11%, 10%, 1% more than I haven't worked it all out. I don't have any customers yet.
But of course, she's going to subtract a reasonable operating cost for the operations.
Sure, you know, there's overhead.
As a net profit.
Convenient. Overhead. Jesus understands overhead.
Oh, overhead, those are the disciples.
Oh, yeah.
Those guys, God, they could eat.
Oh, boy, God. I can tell you.
No kidding.
Oh, and fuck a cookie. You don't have to say that.
Oh, yeah, I almost forgot about fucking cookies.
Yeah, never forget.
Never forget.
9/11.
Here, here. Wait a minute.
What?
Never mind.
Okay.
Well, all right. Then, having done that, we can get right into the recap of this episode, discussing this episode that we've seen. Yeah. The gunman. Man, oh, man.
You know me. I'm a cowboy. I'm a tough guy. I'm an alpha male. I basically make love to Broncos just because it's so rugged, not because I'm into that.
No.
I'm not a classics enthusiast here. Okay. I openly disdain the Greeks and Shakespeare. But this is fucking Comedy of Errors mixed with
Lysistrata. Yeah.
And the Hatfields and the McCoys, only you can have the Hatfields, but not the McCoys.
Right.
What the fuck is going on here?
Well, I have a theory.
Freaky Friday.
There is a Freaky Friday. We sometimes say on this show, we try to figure out if maybe this episode is a rejected script from something else.
Yeah.
That they just kind of reconfigured.
It's a rejected Shakespeare's play.
Well, I was thinking this might have been a rejected storyline for the Abbott and Costello Hatfields and McCoy movie.
Oh, wow.
Because you could kind of picture them in it. I mean, this is funny. This episode is just one laugh after another, followed by another laugh.
Wow.
I do like... As you said, there's the Hatfields and the McPhersons?
It's the McFaddens and the Hadfields, I think.
Oh, Hadfields.
I believe they call them the Hadfields.
Those sly devils. I do apologize.
Well, but it is like they did have to come up with a new name. Like they could only rip off half of one feud.
Right.
Probably for the fear that people wouldn't understand that a feuding family, that families feud, they have to have at least, it would have to been like, you know, The McGillicuddies and the Majoys, you know, or else people be like, why are these families fighting?
Oh, yeah.
You know,
the only feuding families should be named.
You have to create something that's based on something that's been created so people recognize the form.
Oh, God.
Right. People get nervous.
Yeah. If something's brand new, they don't recognize any of it.
But now there really was an Ants McCoy.
There was an Ants McCoy?
As the devil Ants, and he was like I think he was the patriarch of one of them families and shot a pig or something.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding. That's what I'm saying. They are stealing from all corners on this thing.
Yeah, we're not stealing now. Let's not use that. They're rustling.
You're
they're
right.
Paying homage.
Paying
fromage.
They're claim jumping on a few ideas.
That's right.
Okay, I can handle that.
Yeah, I think a lot of that, too, is this script for this seems to have taken as long as it did to write it as it does to read it.
It was written in real time.
It does seem like
it
that.
It was a 48-minute long writing session.
Yeah, it seems like that.
That's fair to say.
Yeah.
And for that, it's excellent.
So many women in the show, more than ever, and nobody dies.
No, that's true.
No women died.
Maybe, you know, because they's traveling in a pack.
That
and
must be it,
numbers.
Right. That must be it.
You know what? I think that what happened, too, is obviously Lorne Greene must have had something in his contract that women had to die. Yeah. Or it might have been Pernell Roberts, because they're not in this at all.
Oh, they're
so maybe that's they had them take an episode off just so that they could make an episode where a woman doesn't have to die.
I guess, maybe that's it. If Lorne's in this episode, we've got to kill a woman. Yeah.
Right.
Well, and I think the character of women in this show really makes a strong demonstration of how useless we are, except as barriers to bullets. To use us as a meat shield, a weeping, crying meat shield is the only way, especially white women, can be of use at this time in history.
I'll never forget when I met my weeping, crying meat shield and just fell in love.
Beautiful, right?
Did you guys remember meeting your weeping, crying meat shield?
I do. Well, of course, my first one was my mama.
Oh, yeah.
Mama will always shield your meat.
She will. Yeah. She will. Because the women in this episodes were kind of scolding, like, your mom.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, like, you boys put down those guns. And they were like, oh, shoot, okay, we will.
Bunch of Nellie Olsons.
Yeah. But they couldn't go anywhere by themselves.
They traveled in a flock.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And they were driven mad by, Little Joe. Little Joe. Oh, my God. They were pawing him. Oh, and then poor Hoss.
Oh, he's used to it.
Yeah, I mean, he's like a Shrek.
Yeah, he's a monster.
You know?
He's monstrous. Like,
There are, these women are all wound up that there's not enough men, and there's like 2.5 men in Hoss.
There's a moment where 5 women are flocking, hanging on Little Joe, and Hoss is there like, I guess we should get going.
Yeah.
That's where it becomes unbelievable, because Hoss is so good. He's my type.
Oh, Hoss is your type.
Oh, really? Yeah. Hey, how's your, you're still with your husband?
Yes, okay. But he's, we don't, well, it brings up my second product line I've been interested in pitching, which is the kind of hotel that the brothers stay at in the small town. And I'm trying to start businessmen motels where it's a small double bed and two men stay in them. And you stay in towns that are known for homosexuality, like Chelsea neighborhood of New York City or San Francisco or Miami Beach. And so that it's a safety in numbers businessmen's motel. So you know nothing's going to happen because there's another guy right next to you. And he's anyways,
is this like the hotel in the show where you can get the room without locks?
You get the room without locks or with locks?
Yeah. Wow. It's 50 cents for a room, 75 cents for a room with a lock. Wow. That's a whole, it's like 50% more.
I know. Yeah. If you bring your own lock, is there a corkage fee? Or
good question.
We don't sleep in the same room, my husband and I.
Oh, you don't?
Really?
Yeah, because I just have too much product in my room now. I haven't moved.
It's taken up half the bed?
Yeah.
All right. Well, this episode opens in a saloon where you've got somebody bumps into a guy and he turns around and it touches off a massacre where these two fellas who we learn are named Big Jim and Shorty Joe.
Shorty Joe.
But in this scene is called Little... No, Jim. Jim. Shorty Jim. But in this scene, he is called Little Jim. And... they look very much like Hoss and Little Joe, except if Hoss had like a kind of a smudgy on his face.
If he had a fungus problem.
Yeah, if he'd eaten a chocolate pie and it got all over Lower Heifer's face.
Or if he cleaned a Weber grill with his face.
Yeah, right.
Or if he was a 60s G.I. Joe that you've had for a long time and it just starts
that's what it looked
off.
Like, yeah. G.I. Joe hair.
But it's a case of facial hair profiling.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, sorry.
I do apologize. Yeah. I know that's a problem these
days. Well, but that's also, too, that's the show's guilty of that because you see that beard and you go, that fella's bad.
Yeah. And then Little Jim had a mustache that seemed to be like it's only can you grow a mustache where the only attachment of the hair is in one and then you comb it out from there?
I didn't believe you could until I started really looking into Chuck Bronson's mustache.
Oh, I see.
And he has the thinnest, widest mustache I've ever seen. And it's like...
thinnest and widest.
Yeah, it just really goes out to here like if Ming the Merciless got shocked with electricity.
You mean the width across the face?
Yeah, really like grows way well past his mouth, but it's still not robust like a Sam Elliott one.
Right.
It's just real thin.
Sculpted.
I've been looking into this.
Looked like Little Jim. Shorty Jim was going to lose his mustache.
It looked like it was made out of armpit hair.
It might have been.
Yeah.
But other than them two details, they are spitting images of Hoss and Little Joe.
Exactly it almost made me think it was just being played by...
No. I had that same thought that it was the same actors. But
that's a really important job in Hollywood is to be an exact double.
Yeah.
Yeah, but because then later there's a scene where they're all in it and you couldn't possibly pull that
work.
Off.
No, you couldn't pull it off.
That's true. I forgot about that there at the end.
Yep.
There are miniature Tom Cruise. Cruise is walking around town who you have to have an exact Tom Cruise.
There's hundreds of them. Hundreds of them.
The proof is, too, that you got a Dermot Mulroney and a Dylan McDermott.
Yeah.
So that's just...
You got to have both of those.
That proves the point.
Yeah. Well, I feel terrible for the Bill Paxton one.
I know. Bill Pullman?
Yeah.
Which one of them died?
Bill Paxton died, right?
Yeah, yes, that's right. Yeah. But then what's his doppelganger got to do?
Yeah. Now he's just,
just wander around and wait for someone from the Fast and the Furious series to die.
It's got to happen.
They're on nine and they're going to space.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Fast and Furious going to space?
Yep. They sure are.
The car movie.
In a car.
Really?
They're going to go to space in a car.
Jump from space station to space station.
What about Hobbs and Shaw? What are they up to? My favorite thing I ever saw on a billboard was Fast and Furious presents Hobbs and Shaw. I've never been so happy in my life to have one movie present another movie to me.
I can't wait for Hobbs and Shaw to spin off. So it's Fast
Hobbs
and Furious
and Shaw presents
Hobbs and Shaw presents
Pigs in Space.
Magruder and Loud.
It'd be better if it was like, Fast and Furious presents Macbeth.
Well, Bonanza presents Comedy of Errors.
But presents, well, and then what's that animated feature called? Cars.
Oh, yeah, Cars 2.
Cars 2, and then it just involves a lot of people fighting a lot and never getting hurt. No one gets hurt in the movie!
No, no, and that's true in this movie, too, as a matter of fact. No, I don't believe anybody, hurt. Well, except for these people in the
extras in the first yes,
there
bar
was
scene.
A massacre in a saloon, yep. And but it's taken in stride by the two fantastic actors who see them go. And,
really good.
Yeah, they know.
They really restate the premise quite nicely.
Very nicely.
Yeah.
They understand these two, the Slade boys, is headed to Kiowa Flats in Texas. Now, this is the 19th episode of Bonanza to feature the burning map in the opening credits, and only about the third episode to feature the chapter card. And from which we come back, we have the credits where we see all four of the regular cast members in the credits. And you might think for a moment, hey, it looks like all four of them got the week off from their regular job. But nope, we only got the two of them in this episode. You know, that's how it goes.
Yeah, sometimes. And then two of them had to do double duty.
No, I don't think they
did. Oh, I know they didn't because I know them's actors. But
then we got a scene where a little boy.
I want to know what happened. Like what Lauren Green and Purnell Roberts, like. Well, I wonder if there was like a...
We got a running theory that the first season of Bonanza is basically made up of old, unused Western scripts, and however many characters are needed, be damned.
Oh, they just do. I see. Yeah,
there was a script for two characters that couldn't figure out how to whip the other two in.
Have faith. Don't question the mystery.
Oh, good point.
Okay, that's a good point.
That's right. Have faith that there's a design.
I just asked because I did an episode of Malcolm in the Middle that was ended up being a clip show, you know, where they just play reruns of.
But like, you were in that episode and not a previous one.
I was in that episode and it happened like they called me and said, can you come in tomorrow and shoot an episode of Malcolm in the Middle? And I played a family therapist who was negotiating with the dad and the boys. And then they were talking about reliving some of their past escapades, which was where the clips of the previous shows went. And I found out the reason I did it is because Jane Kaczmarek had what they called, or not Kaczmarek.
Vaginal.
No, not.
Just
no.
Vaginal.
Hold on. Is it Jane? No,
yeah, she was in that show.
Yeah.
Is it Jane Kaczmarek?
Yes.
Oh, I'm thinking, yeah. Jane Kaczmarek had what they call.
Epitigo.
Vitiligo. She had what they call salary flu. Contract flu.
Oh, no.
That happens in the vagina?
It does sometimes.
Okay.
There's a real pain.
It depends on how you get paid by your agent.
In your ovaries.
The agent gets their piece first.
Hey, you want to hear of a fun disease?
Yeah.
It's called hot tub folliculitis.
What?
Yeah. Look it up. That's a real one.
Wait, you can't. You're going to leave us hanging?
Yeah, I'm leaving you hanging.
It sounds like your hair follicles get infected by being in a hot tub.
Oh, right.
That isn't going to be cured by weeds.
Probably not.
Well, you could try.
Well,
I sure Kyle like to Flats, try things that don't work.
The sheriff is warned that the Slade boys is coming, and he's a comical sheriff, and all he can think to do is warn people and get drunk, and he throws his guns away because he ain't going to need them. The Slade boys is too tough. Mm-hmm. He wakes up a sleeping drunk, Twirly Boggs, and he says, hey, you used to be friends with the Slade boys, and now we understand that Alonzo McFadden of the McFadden family hired the Slade boys to kill Hadfield.
Because the Hadfield was the fastest gun in town, and none of the McFaddens could kill that Hadfield.
They got to kill Ants Hadfield, the young fella who used to hang around with James Dean.
Yeah.
And
probably got crabs, too, because apparently James Dean had terrible crabs.
He was mostly crabs by the end.
By the end, James Dean was almost entirely crabs.
Print it.
You can take
it. He was letting the crabs steer. That's what happened.
Oh, brother. The crabs don't pay attention to stop signs. On them desert two-lane roads. Well, it's Jubal Hatfield.
He was driving sideways. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, then we have... and then our heroes ride into town. This is Hoss and Little Joe looking quite a bit like them Slade boys. And so, accordingly, everyone in town, what would you do if two psychopathic, homicidal gunslingers was coming into your town? You'd gather around in a clump and watch them.
Yeah.
You follow them from place to place.
Clump up. It's a strategy. It's called clump up.
Yeah. Right.
You present yourself as an easy to hit target.
That's right. Uh-huh. Clump up and stare at them wherever they go. Don't say a word.
Yep.
And
increase the likelihood of each bullet killing someone in town.
Yeah, right, exactly. And so, but our Hoss and Little Joe don't know why everybody's acting so crazy. And then the bartender has a very long speech
about the weather.
I hope that's on his reel.
It's got to be on it. Well, that fella, name a television show. And he's been on it.
Oh, he was wonderful.
Any show. He's been in one episode of
Get Christy Love.
He's been on Get Christy Love.
Oh, yep. Nice.
One episode.
The Goldbergs.
He's been on an episode of The Goldbergs. Okay. Every damn show.
You know, one thing about this episode, too, and it is something that I love about this this kind of television is like, there's almost no young people.
Oh, right.
No, you're right. It's just the one kid. Like,
if you are an aficionado of old white men, you should watch this episode because there are a lot of
Well, I bet if
them.
You're watching it, you are an old white man.
So. Yeah,
that's true.
That's true. Everyone in this episode is white. They didn't even put brown makeup on anybody to make them Native American peoples.
No. Or have a Jewish person play an Indian.
Yep, didn't do that. No, not in this episode. Well, then they tried to rent that room. And then this is when the flock of women comes along. And the flock of women, led by Lorna Doone, whatever her last name is, who's named after... A
cookies you can fuck.
Everybody knew that about this woman in this town.
Yeah.
Especially that cookie. Drunk at the end. He knew what he was in for.
He sure did.
He wanted a cookie.
Now, their problem is that all the men in this town keep getting shot up in this feud between McFadden's and the whatever's the Hadfields. And so they don't want any more violence. And so they come to tell these two gunslingers to repent. And Joe and Hoss don't know what they're talking about. And they try to make their way through. And then that's when some of these girls cop a feel on Joe.
Yep.
It's mission creep. The mission was get him to not shoot our boys. And then while we're at it, maybe brush your hand against his ass.
They are a slave to their passions. Yeah.
They sure are, these
like,
ladies.
They're like kitty cats in heat.
They're like those
perpetrators.
Those ladies, you know, that'll marry a fella in prison, you know, because they just like a bad boy. You know?
Yeah,
that's what it is.
Yeah.
And it's the strength of white women crying in numbers.
Yes.
That's, you can hire a service. I'll come over with all my white lady friends and we'll just block stuff with our tears. We're not good.
Yeah. Why would someone hire that service? Because I want to do
neighbor's rehabbing their house and the sawing and the hammering is driving you crazy.
Or their social justice and the National Guard has showed up. Just hire us. We'll get in the way. We ain't got nothing to do.
No. Just a wall of women show up and cry.
Put a wall of white women crying in front of a baby gap and run.
Put them out of business.
We'll take it. We'll take the bullets, the rubber bullets. I hope they're rubber anyways. Anyways, it's been a good run. I don't care.
You don't care? Put yourself in the line of fire.
Line of fire. You know, people think it because I'm a Christian, I'm not completely progressive, but I love the poor and the disenfranchised. I just I'm also selfish.
That's the nature of your dysphoria.
Nothing wrong with that.
Well,
nothing wrong.
These ladies, if they show up looking like they're going to lay down the law, but really all they want is they're begging for their men.
Yeah.
That's all they care for.
Well, and the funny, I always thought that there weren't many women in old Western towns. There's only one, two women but that's not true.
Yep. There's a bunch of them. So now a Hadfield posse shows up to take out the Slade boys, and there's a big gun not quite a shootout because there's no return fire from Hoss and Little Joe. They're just confused and don't know what's going on. They get captured by this posse, and they get interrogated, and they try to say, we ain't the Slade boys, but they feel that they're being lied to.
Fun part of that shootout for me, just being a picky bitch, is that... The first weapon aimed at Hoss and Little Joe is a shotgun, and then it fires like a rifle.
Yeah,
I
noticed that too.
A bullet hits them, as opposed to a spray of gunshot.
Yeah, they had some real like squibs.
You are a picky bitch.
You are
real picky bitch.
You picky bitch.
Ought to be scattershot.
Yeah,
I almost turned it off at that point.
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
I almost turned it off at a point when Little Joe's going to pay for his drinks at the bar, and he pulls a coin out of the waistband of his pants. Mm. And I says to myself, you can't keep your coins there. And the reason is it was just hard to get to his pocket because his holster's there.
Oh. Yeah, yeah.
And that's when I almost said goodbye.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I remember.
Or maybe he had a flesh pocket made that he cut himself.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of that happening.
Flesh pocket. Uh-huh. Out on the range.
Just for
maybe it's a flesh pocket.
And you keep your one beer coin there.
Yeah. It's piercings for alcoholics.
Yeah. It's not a bad idea because you never know when you're going to lose your pants.
That's right. You could just keep a coin in your foreskin if you're uncut.
Sure you can. I've heard of that many times. Well,
sometimes that's the best way to pay a prostitute.
There's a little something in there for you.
Literally.
Little something.
Literally.
Well, now, the boys get taken to the jail, and that's when Lorna Doone shows up to read a piece of cowboy poetry.
Oh, poor doomed prisoners, it ain't too late. Down on your knees as you face your awful fate. Repent your crimes before that trap is sprung. And you, like a side of beef, are hung.
Poor soul, if when you come up close and scooch again the bars, you could kind of rest your poor head on my shoulder.
It ain't fair hanging men when there ain't enough to go around as it is.
If and you don't mind, I'd like to finish my little tribute whilst there's time.
Ma'am, did you have many more of those?
No, just 10 or 12 more verses. Well, I didn't have enough time to do a real good job on it.
That's a shame.
Now your poke is spent, and you can take my word. We'll remember the gent that went riding herd, a-fightin' and shooting like desert rats to come to their end in Kiowa Flats. Now toll the bell, their souls are fled.
There's gonna be much more of this, horse.
Shh. Them two poor boys are hanging dead. Somewhere their kinfolk will weep and pray.
Boy, this is worse than hanging.
For them that got heisted up today.
See that?
Wow.
How about that? We've never seen cowboy poetry on this show
before. That's the longest line a woman has ever had on the show.
No kidding.
You're right.
I got uncomfortable.
Yeah. And you're a picky bitch.
I know. That lady sure does keep talking.
Somebody cut her off.
Now, Dalton, as the preeminent and foremost cowboy poet, laureate of the West, how does that hold? I mean, where does it? How was that? Was that good? I don't know.
No, by the standards of me, the cowboy poet laureate of the West, that was terrible.
Okay.
But it's just wonderful to see some real cowboy verse on this show finally after 19 whole episodes. Yeah. So I'm glad they're trying it, but they should have had a real fellow, somebody in there like myself, come in and punch it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, now
to AABBCC it.
Yeah, yeah, right. Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. Got to put them letters in there. That's what it needed. More letters. Well, so now. Yep. Now we got, once again, these young women are all over Joe. They're trying to get him through the prison bars. And this is when there's an escape. Who is it that comes?
A little kid.
Little boy comes and shows up and he tells him, this part I didn't understand his role in it, but who cares? The whole wall of the prison gets torn down by the McFadfields, the other group.
McFadfields.
And the McFadfields. And then our boys, Hoss and Joe, get taken to, which is it now? Is it the McFaddens?
That's the McFaddens.
Yeah, the McFaddens. They get taken to the McFaddens' house, and the McFaddens are mad at him because they ain't killed Aunt Hadfield yet, and they don't believe him either that they're not the Slade boys. And they put him in a bedroom, and the little boy sneaks in the window, and Hoss recognizes him from his ass, and he's
Yeah, that was something.
That was uncomfortable, isn't it? Yeah, boy.
And especially because they then tied him to the bed.
Yeah, that was also uncomfortable. They tied him to the bed.
Show me his butt. Yeah, that's him.
Tied to the bed. I know.
I think it's a good setup, though, that I'm, you know, I am pro-life, but I'm not pro-children.
Right.
And so I really like that he becomes a child soldier, because I think that's something that children can be really good at.
Oh, that would be a good use for children, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, their tiny little hands can get in there and shoot that, fire that trigger just like anybody.
Yeah.
Well, so now we understand. Now this is when the Hoss and Joe finally understand that they are mistaken for some guys who've been hired to kill Anse Hadford because he's the fastest gun in the family. And once you kill that guy, you can kill the rest of them. And they don't want any part of it. So naturally, they tie a boy to a bed and they try to escape. And then there's another shootout. And this time there's a hole shot in a water trough. And Hoss takes a break from hiding for his life to get a drink of water.
Yep. Yeah. Getting shot at makes me thirsty.
That's what he says. Getting shot out makes me thirsty. Yeah. And then they get recaptured almost as though everything that had happened in the previous 7 minutes of the show wasn't necessary.
Just filler. Just filler.
Try like 14.
14 minutes. Yeah. Well, they got time to kill. The best time killing in this show happens when the sheriff is explaining to them the whole backstory of the Hadfields versus the McFaddens. And he says, I'll tell you the whole story. Let's go into the saloon. I'll get myself a drink. And then he gets himself a drink. And then he says, I'll tell you the whole story. Come, let's sit down at this table. Yep. Like, it's a lot of getting ready to get ready.
And all those crosses are on camera. There's no edits.
Nope.
Yep. Stroll on over here. Now sit down here.
Almost bump up next to each other in their chairs, but don't shoot it again.
That's right. Yeah, so I guess what it all comes down to is that Twirly Boggs, being that he knows the Slade boys, mm-hmm. is in a position to say these are the Slade boys or these aren't the Slade boys. Except that they're identical, and so that plan isn't going to work. But
right,
they
could just be the Slade boys with a fresh shave.
Exactly. Precisely.
They ought to check his little skin coin purse, see if he's got it.
Does little Jim have a skin coin purse?
Good question.
At his pants.
Yeah, and Twirly Boggs is unreliable anyway because he's been drinking so much comedy liquor.
He drinks so much comedy liquor that when you wake him up, he says, don't mind if I do, who's buying?
Yep.
Literally. Yep. That's the first thing he says.
When he gives up the bottle at the end, not to spoil it, does he just get real serious for the rest of his life and dramatic?
I suppose he must. Oh, that's my alarm. Hang on now. That's telling me I need to.
Sounds like outer space calling you.
Yeah. Is the jerky ready?
That's telling me it's time to.
Oh, it's the jerky boys.
It's time to jerk my jerky. This is not the Jerky Boys. Whatever happened to them, we'll find out later. So,
we will?
Yeah, later. Yeah. This is when, I don't know, I lost my place. But at some point, somebody says about the Slade Boys, he says, they walk in blood, and where they breathe, they leave behind ruin.
Wow.
Man, that's poetry.
Yeah, that is.
Beautiful writing.
Yeah.
The writer woke up for a minute. Well, now we understand the town is preparing for war. Right, there's going to be a big shootout between the two sides.
Yeah.
And
they put out the war barrels, things to hide behind.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. And the sheriff tells Hoss and Little Joe, I put some horses out for you. You guys can leave town. Get out of here. Yeah, I understand you don't want any part of this. And so they're going to do it, and they're thankful for it. But that's when they see the little boy with the gun in his hands, and he's getting ready to shoot, and they realize, we can't just leave. We're Cartwrights. We need to solve a problem we have nothing to do with.
Yep.
Far away from home.
And they reference one of the characters who had the week off.
Yeah. Yep. Paul's told us, don't do nothing to others that you'd be ashamed of that you didn't do. It's got to do with good stuff.
A lot of negatives.
Codependency some more. That's when you want a little, when you do something for someone they could clearly do for themselves and you move their arms from them from behind.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's what they're going to do.
Yep. You're going to make them, make some peace. Flop their arms around in a peaceful way.
Cough up some peace.
Yeah.
So, and that's what, who has the idea first? I think the sheriff puts it in their minds, but it's Hoss that says, sometimes women folk can get around men in little ways, and I reckon maybe you and these other ladies can get around them, he says to Lorna Doone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right?
And he makes her a target without her knowing.
Well, so now the two sides square off in the street, and the one guy who's leading, he says, hold your fire. He wants to wait until the other side is fully ready to shoot back at them for some reason.
He's gentlemanly. Yeah.
Let's wait until they've got all the stuff they want to hide behind, and they're rifles is already pointed at us, and then we'll fire.
Yeah.
That is gentlemanly. And so they are all ready to fire. The first shots are going to ring out any second now, and that is when the women folk,
like swans.
Yeah.
They appear
right
in the middle.
They come in the middle, and they're taking a real chance because I think it's 2 in every 10 women who die at the hands of someone they love.
And they're, dang it, down there. Let's silence our phones.
Let's, huh?
Yeah. So they just walk right in the line of fire. I can't believe nobody got it shot there. I'm surprised.
Everybody knows human life is not valuable. They would have shot. I was surprised.
Yeah. Did you know a synonym for female in those days was bullet catcher?
And I didn't know. Weeping that. Crying meat shield, too. Yeah.
Weeping crying meat
weeping
shield.
Weeping crying meat shield bullet. Holder. Yeah. Is that what you said? Bullet catcher.
Bullet catcher.
Yep.
Hey, why don't you girls go out in the middle there and catch some of these bullets?
Well, this is the next clip I wanted to show you. This is Wheezy McFadden.
Oh, yeah.
Sharing a first name with George Jefferson's wife.
Yep. Did you look her up on IMDb?
You bet I
did.
Oh,
boy, I'm excited.
Well, dang it. I think I might have lost that clip. Oh, dang.
Are you sure you don't want to take in the next call?
Maybe I will. Oh, shizbutt. Well, we'll,
whoa.
I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll tell Brett to put this one in, too. This is where Wheezy steps forward. Let me tell you about this woman. Her name, let's go back up to where I've got the information about the exorcist.
Wheezy McFadden.
Wheezy McFadden was played by Dorothy Newman, a graduate of the Yale School of Drama.
Whoa.
Uh-huh. Wow. You can hear it in this speech. And, her Wikipedia page says she was especially known for playing characters in the horror and fantasy genres, such as witches, crones, and gypsies.
Wow. You know,
or any female role available.
Yeah. Boy, actresses of a certain age in that era, really, they had it good, didn't they?
Yeah. How old do you?
And of a certain facial type, too.
Yeah.
Yes.
How old do you think?
She was
Lorna Doone.
She's a Philadelphia 30.
Wait, Lorna Doone or Wheezy?
No, I didn't look up how old Wheezy was. Lorna Doone.
When they shot this.
Ellen Corby, when they shot this episode, how old do you reckon she was?
Well, I want to say like 68, but I think it's probably more like, I'll say 48.
Okay.
See, I would say mid 40s, but I bet you it's mid 30s.
Interesting. Wow. Well, you have a guess?
30.
She was 48, and she's playing. Yeah, you had it right on the money.
Wow.
She's playing an old.
That's my age right now.
Uh-huh, and she's like grandma style. she played a grandma her whole career.
Oh, man.
From the time she was 7 years old.
She was the only child actor who played grandmas.
Yep, grandma child actor.
I got something to say. You all know me. I'm Wheezy McFadden. My man's Alonzo McFadden. He's over there behind them barrels and things with the rest of the McFaddens. Alonzo, I want you to listen to me. I can't have no more chilling. But I ain't gonna cook for you, nor wash for you, nor do anything a wife's bound to do for her man till you put down that gun and come out of there. Alonzo, I mean it.
I'm Susan Hatfield. I guess you all know who I'm talking to. What Wheezy says goes for me too, Jubal. I won't be the kind of wife I should till you stop this fighting.
I'm talking to you, Anne Hatfield. You heard your ma talk, and you heard my ma. You're on one side, and I'm on the other. Here I am, Anne. But don't come after me with a gun in your hand.
She says there, I love that scene. She says, Wheezy McFadden says, no cooking or washing nor anything else a wife is bound to do for a man. What do you suppose is covered by that?
Oh, you know what that
is.
Yeah,
right. Yeah. She
said. Oh, the holes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She'll say it. And then the other one says, I won't be the kind of wife I should till you stop this fighting. The kind of wife I should.
Which is three holes.
All three
holes Wheezy.
Three holes Wheezy.
And the ear if the fellow wants it.
That's not always just on the menu, so good for her.
Not my good ear. Now, Lys Estrada, they's just straight up saying, well, he's going to stop having sex with you.
Right.
But that's way back in time, and then we get up to the 50s in the Old West, and they won't say that. It's more like, I ain't going to cook you dinner.
Yeah.
They're being real cool.
I ain't going to lift my petticoats.
Yeah.
Well, then, now things get a little more explicit when the beautiful young lady steps forward, Manda, and she says, here I am, Ants, but don't come after me with a gun in your hand.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So, and then he does. He drops his gun and he goes to her. Now he's going to get laid.
Had she been there before? Had we seen her before?
We met her on the porch
of the McFadden.
When we met Wheezy.
Yeah, he quickly is like, gun or am I going to get my hand bone boiled? I'm going to get my hand bone boiled.
Yeah. And then all the other young fellas do that too. They all kind of break out and say, oh, I get it. We could get laid instead of getting shot.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's the revelation.
Because I actually think the message here was they wasn't getting laid before. So not only do we not want you to fight, but suddenly we're ready for some, you know?
I see.
Because they all just go off to who knows where. Yeah. You think it was just a big sex party?
I think they went to the No Lock Hotel.
Oh.
And then they're just switching rooms.
No locks.
All business, man.
No locks, all cocks. Fire when ready. Hold your fire.
But the two men are the one who are left, and neither of their women are
it's just a question.
It brings to mind all the sexuality and gender identity issues, and that why didn't they want to go off together? Or how did they define their relationships?
The two men or the men with their women?
Both, all.
Yeah. I think the men, the warring McCoys and
the patriarchs of them, Hadfield.
Yeah. The patriarchs, I think they were more married to each other than they were to their wives.
I agree. Oh.
They were married to their hate.
Yeah. Yes. And in a way, getting enough liquid courage to maybe get sensitive with each other.
The only thing that could undo their hate was comedy liquor.
Yeah. Comedy liquor. And that's what they did. They got funny drunk at the saloon, the two of them. Yeah. They started slurring their words and whatnot.
Yeah. Well, and one of them looked like it looked like liquor gave him Bell's palsy. One lip was just pulled down. Then that meant I am drunk.
He learned that from Ray Milland in Lost Weekend. That was Ray Milland's stand-in.
You really don't know how good an actor is until they try to play drunk, and then you find out they're not good.
Oh, I meant to say that Twirly Boggs drunk scene where it's just him by himself, and he's going to wash his face with water.
Yeah.
And the joke is supposed to be he gets the water going out of the pump, and then by the time he's ready to splash it on his face, the water stopped. But the timing just wasn't quite. They should have done a second take because the water was flowing for a long time, not explicable why he didn't.
Right, yeah.
Well, they shot it in real time just as they
were. Yeah, they didn't have time for two takes.
No chance.
They didn't know what gives a shit.
It almost worked.
They're typing. They're typing and spreading it out on the floor as people talk.
Here you go, Twirly. Just improvise. Washing your face. We're right in the next scene.
Come up with something.
Yeah.
We'll try to get the water guy to put some water in there.
Don't worry. We got Twirly Boggs. This guy can do a 20 on his own.
Yeah. King Donovan has Twirly Boggs. Well, then you get, all right. Yeah, Alonzo and Jubal get real drunk, and they decide they're going to kill the Slade boys. Because there's outsiders coming into their feud. And that's when our heroes ride off and they run into the Slade boys.
On the trail.
On the trail. Come right up on them.
Put up a smudgy mirror.
It's like seeing your possible future if you don't go to church.
Or shave.
Yeah.
Or shave.
Yeah, those are the same thing, basically.
Yeah.
Because if you have facial hair, you're a sinner.
Yeah.
That's true.
And they tell them, town's a couple miles back.
Uh-huh.
And then they ride and then there's a cut. I mean, it denotes time passage.
Yep.
So that means that they have ridden, the Slade boys have ridden a couple miles into town.
Yep.
And Little Joe and Hoss can still hear the gunfire.
Oh, I like this. This is like a SAT brain teaser.
Yeah, it is.
They've now gone a total of probably 4 miles from each
other. Precisely.
And you still hear those gunfire.
You still hear that gunfire as if it's a, you know,
you
next
just fucking
door.
Blew a hole wide open big in this episode.
You can't figure it out.
You are picky.
A picky bitch.
You don't think you could hear the bullets 4 miles away?
Not the way that they sounded there.
No, right. Hmm. Yeah, maybe you hear them.
But don't criticize you guys. All the four gospels are the same book, but we can't. We don't have to figure it out.
That's true. Have faith. Boy, this is a test of faith. I have never
And there
been.
Are four Michael Landon and Dan Blocker characters. Four Gospels.
And four of us.
Oh, yeah, and four of us.
Four horsemen of the Podalypse.
Of the Podalypse.
Of the Podalypse.
Four
horsemen of the Podalypse.
That's right.
The pod full of lips.
I'd like to see that pod. Well, and by the way, they never at any time say, hey, you guys look like us or anything
like
that.
Nobody has a reaction.
They don't recognize themselves in themselves. And that's it. Now, as we say, the love interest body count for season one of Bonanza stands firm at 11.
Out of 19 episodes.
Out of 19 episodes, only 11 possible love interests have died.
But women were under fire. Yes. They were in real danger of being shot dead.
Yeah.
They were so there, I mean, just, I think that counts for something.
It wasn't for lack of trying.
Was it for lack of trying?
Yeah. Yep. Yep. I'd say. And sadly, after this, we only have 412 episodes left to go. I know. It's sad. It's almost over, and it's only just begun again.
It's just really, every time I wake up to that harsh reality, I want to weep.
It's terrible.
It's horrible.
Yep. Did they ever do a bedwetting episode inspired by Michael Landon's real life struggles?
Oh,
did Michael Landon wet the bed?
He was a bedwetter.
As an adult?
Into his teenage years.
When he was a teenage werewolf?
And his mother would hang his soiled bed linens out his window so the whole neighborhood would know.
Oh.
Wait a minute. I just heard that somewhere else.
Yeah. And there was a made-for-TV movie, I think, that he inspired by his life story that he produced.
Wait a minute. I was just listening to the J.B. Smoove podcast, and he tells that story about himself, and I'm wondering, is he borrowing that from that movie, or did his mom see that movie and did it to him? This is true.
What if J.B. Smoove's whole deal is just a lift from Michael Landon?
Oh, my
God. It makes perfect sense.
I think it leads me to tell you about one of my last new products is inspired by the GLGBTQ.
It's Jubels. It's pronounced Jubels.
No, plus. Jubels.
You can't even say it.
I really love the identification process, and I feel that could help Christians to say where they are on this an array of Christianity. So like you have a yellow flag, like a butter yellow flag if you're a fundamentalist. You have a celandine green flag if you're Episcopalian, and then blood red flag with bling if you're Catholic. And then for my church, because it's just mine, it's white flag. But Michael Landon could it, because I surrender. But Michael Landon, he could have a white flag with a little pea stain on it, because he was a Christian. Yeah. He was a devout Christian.
Yeah.
And like that's
the Japanese flag, but instead of a red rising sun, it's a riding pea globe.
With a little pea, to just say.
Like a fried egg.
Yeah, an egg.
And to be about compassion, that he was a compassionate for people who struggle.
They waved a white flag at some point, and he was being shot on, and it used Little Joe's handkerchief, which he specifies was a $2 handkerchief. That's three nights in a room with a lock and a little left over for a couple of beers. Man, oh, man. Well, hot damn. Okay, that's good. Anybody else have something to plug? What are you up to, Andy Richter?
I have a podcast called The Three Questions, but everybody knows about that.
Yeah, of course they do.
I mean, they've already listened to all of them and downloaded them wherever they get their podcasts.
Yeah.
How many people from Bonanza have you had on that?
That's a good question.
Let me think. None.
Oh, what?
None. None. As far as I know, none.
Oh, wow. Well, then one of my three questions is why not?
The little boy with the patch on his pants, maybe he's still around.
Oh, yeah, that's the best
find that young man.
Oh, I bet he's living in Tarzana.
Reseda.
sure he is. Telling stories. He's
probably in Santa Clarita.
Yeah.
With a MAGA flag in his front yard.
Yeah. He's sitting in Tinhorn Flats right now telling somebody, no, I'm telling you, damn blocker, Michael Landon tied me to a goddamn bed.
I didn't think I got the way I am.
Well, what about you, Mutt
Taylor? Well, I'm working on my latest replica mansion out of shipping containers. Okay. So I'm making Victor Maitland's mansion from Beverly Hills Cop. You know that one?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, well, I made it out of shipping containers. And it just looks like a big box.
Sounds beautiful.
I got to figure out this system. It's something. But
yeah,
these are going to be big when I get them figured out.
Real big.
Yeah.
Well, I've applied for a government grant to hunt vampires. Because everybody says that this coronavirus come from a bat, and everybody knows vampires can become bats.
Ever put it together.
That's exactly how I put it in my government grant application. Just that, what I just said, is that's all it is. Dear government, everybody knows that this virus come from a bat, and a vampire can become a bat. Therefore, I'd like you to pay me to kill vampires.
And you ain't heard nothing on that yet?
No, I ain't heard. I sent it registered mail, and I know they received it.
Okay.
What is your test? I mean, because you can't just kill people. You'd have to only kill vampires.
I've never killed a person in my life. He just knows.
He knows.
I've killed Frankensteins and creatures from lagoons of all colors and creeds.
Right.
And I've killed invisible men, so many invisible men. And on and on. List goes on, my friend.
But
I've killed concubine Frankensteins.
How do you know a vampire is a vampire?
It's real easy. You go right up to them and you say, are you a goddamn vampire?
Yeah.
And they always say, basically, like, a vampire, what are you talking about? And that's when you know, my friend. That's when it's time to pull out that stake of wood and plunge it deep into their heart.
It's a perfect system.
It's a perfect system. And a lot of people think that a vampire, well, by the way, I have promised not to talk about monster killing on this podcast. No. So, Brett, go ahead and edit all this out. No. But a lot of people think a vampire, once you stake them in the heart, they'll just disappear, turn to dust or something.
Turn to dust, sure.
No, sir. They bleed a lot.
Scream. Yeah.
Scream and bleed.
Yeah.
And fall to the ground. And that's it.
They don't age a thousand years.
So many things people get wrong about vampires.
Wow.
You would think right before your eyes, they just age a thousand years. Ain't what happened.
I'd like to ride shotgun on one of your excursions, because I'd like to see that.
Very good. Yeah. What, shall I take you on as my ward?
I just would like to ride shotgun.
Well, that's the deal. I got to take you out as my ward.
You'll get a pair of pants with a patch in the back of the back.
You sure will.
He'll tie you to the bed if you're lucky.
All right. Well, we'll be doing it for the government here to forward. And that's it. That's an episode of, hey, did you hear a movie you want to watch for the bonus episode?
In there?
Yeah.
I'm worried about trying to find some of those movies, but
yeah, I know.
Yeah, what did you hear any?
Well, we'll figure it out.
Okay.
All right, folks. Thanks so much for joining us. Do I have a sign off? I don't believe I do.
Oh.
We'll work on that for next time. Sign off.
Bananas for Bonanza is brought to you by Andy Daly, with Maria Bamford and Matt Gourley. Theme song by Matt Gourley, with The Journeyman, which in this case are Mark McConville, Daniel Michikoff, and Wade Ryan. Bananas for Bonanza is mixed and edited by Brett Morris, and executive produced by Andy Daly, Matt Gourley, Brett Morris, and Little Scott Ackerman. We'll see you next time.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.